1850 715 815.
Hello, good afternoon, and you're very welcome to Liveline. 51551 is our text number. Jacob Rees-Mogg has become almost a household name in Ireland in the last 12 months. He's a British Tory MP. He's 50 years of age. He's MP for North East Somerset. He's a very strong practicing Catholic, as he talks about a lot. He is chairman of the ERG, the European Research Group, which is extraordinarily pro-Brexit. They want Brexit ASAP. He's a big supporter of Boris Johnson, has been a very big critic of Theresa May, has been, and now he's campaigning for Boris Johnson. But it's in the context of what he said about the incident in Boris Johnson's home over the weekend, where neighbours, they share a landing apparently, and neighbours heard what they called a serious row, delf smashing, accusing each other of spilling bottles of wine, accusing each other of interfering with each other's laptops, and then saying, get off me, get off me. Now, Susan Bauman, I mentioned this earlier, Susan is in Waterford and Kerry. Susan, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Joe.
Do you think people, we'll go back to the Rees-Mogg's, his reference to the people who actually rang the police. What do you think people who ring the police in these difficult situations? By the way, they had knocked on the door first.
I think it is absolutely imperative that if someone hears that kind of level of screaming and yelling, they should call the police or knock on the door. I myself am a survivor of domestic violence from 25 years ago, back in my first marriage. And I often think if somebody in my neighborhood had come and said, we hear what's going on, are you okay? I think I would have gotten help so much sooner. And as it was 3 years before I actually, you know, had the strength to walk out the door and go to the Center for Battered Women in Austin, Texas on my own.
And a difficult question, Susan, would they have heard your distress?
I can't imagine not. I mean, the house next door to me was about, my window to their window was probably 25 feet away. And the screaming was so loud at some point. I used to say, stop screaming, people are going to hear you.
And he was screaming at you.
Yeah, you know, for things like not putting gas in the car, you know, as everyone who has a controlling partner would laugh at that one. But, you know, just for any reason that he could think of. And I'll tell you, I just think call the police, whether you see whether you think someone's getting hurt or whether you see someone, you know, beating a dog on the side of the road or a horse, call the police and let them find out that it's an innocent story.
And when the police did appear or were involved in your case, how did they perform?
Unbelievably wonderfully. I lived in Austin, Texas, which was a town in Texas, unlike many others. So they took it very seriously. I filed a protective order, and the afternoon I filed the protective order, the police department called me, and they said, you won't see us. No one will know we're here, but just be aware, these next 48 hours are your most risky. So we are here watching you and making sure you're okay.
And what did it mean, most risky? Why would the next 48 hours be so defining?
Well, in domestic violence, usually within the first 24 hours of someone filing an order or coming public about it is when they're killed by their spouse.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay, Susan, let's listen to what Rees-Mogg said. And he repeated that at length on the Nick Ferrari show yesterday morning. I mentioned it here yesterday that I'd been listening to it and we got a reaction to it. So this is part of what Jacob Rees-Mogg, this is what he calls the people who rang the police when they heard the disturbance next door after they failed to get an answer when they knocked on the door.
I think it's absolutely dreadful. I really do. I think the idea that snooping neighbours are recording what is going on for political advantage, and then class war protesters are coming to politicians' front doors, which happened to me as well.
It did. Your children and nanny, as I understand.
Is not a good place for politics to be. I think the politicians should feel safe and unmolested in their own homes. I don't think that's an unreasonable thing to ask for. I think peaceful protest is absolutely right and part of a free society. But the aggression of the hard left is really appalling and not how British politics has normally been carried out. And snoopers are always unattractive. Curtain twitchers, sort of Corbynista curtain twitchers, are not attractive.
You hear a woman shout.
Who reaches, first of all, for their mobile telephone to record it and then sends it off to The Guardian? That's a snooper. I think for newspapers to think, neighbours recording through the wall, when you have this vision of them putting a glass next to the wall with their mobile, how long have they been doing that? Were they doing it day in, day out, just in case they might catch a snippet of conversation that they could pass on to a newspaper? And who knows how to get in touch with newspapers as quickly as this? It's all very unsavoury. When people are privately in their own home with the door closed, is that really something where neighbours should be whisking out their iPhones when a discussion was going on in the home? I think that's beyond the level.
And shouldn't he lastly have just knocked it back with a statement on Saturday?
No, I think he's absolutely right. Once you start saying, I'm going to answer these questions, then every question is opened up.
Well, how many times does he have spill red wine over his sofa and have an altercation
with his girl? Quite. Yeah, that's what you want to know now. And what I say to journalists who ask those sorts of questions is, when did they last have an altercation? Oh. When did they last have a full and frank exchange of views in the marital home? So I think this is the right answer from Boris. He simply shouldn't go down the route of discussing his private affairs, but we really should raise questions over these curtain-twitching Corbynistas.
Snoopers, Susan, privately in your own home, why should anyone report anything they hear in a private home next door to them or otherwise?
Well, I think one thing that's so appalling about his full statement, which that's the first time I heard the full statement, was that he talks about a politician having a right to safety in their home. Mm-hmm. But we're not talking about a politician's right to safety. We're talking about everyone's right to safety in their home. And that was what was at risk. Was that person safe in their home? Or was I safe in my home? It's about safety in your home. And he's using that as his little flag.
Okay.
It's about safety in the home, but not about the politician's safety.
Okay, 51551. Brian, good afternoon.
Hi, Joe. How are you doing?
What do you think of what Rees-Mogg said?
I think there's a total confusion there between politics and domestic abuse, which I don't particularly like. They seem to be missing the core issue. I do agree with Rees-Mogg in regard to the person recording what they heard in the background or what they heard next door. I think that's a total invasion of privacy. I think there was no reason why they should not have just picked up the phone and rang the police and looked for help. And even if you're wrong, Joe, in these situations, which Susan has alluded to there, you know, there's always the risk that you may be overthinking the situation, but there could be somebody's life at risk. And I wonder if that was a child that Rees-Mogg's neighbours or whoever he's talking about heard screaming, would he still feel they had no business reporting it to the police or the authorities?
So hang on, Brent, you've no issue with them ringing the police?
No.
But you have an issue with them taking out their phone and turning it on. Well, the neighbour said the phone was on. He was waiting on the Deliveroo. So you just pressed the video button on your camera or you pressed the voice memo. Why wouldn't you do that?
Because
you wouldn't be believed.
Privacy, Joe. You would be believed. Authorities generally, I think Susan would agree, are very helpful.
Well, Rees-Mogg doesn't believe them.
Well,
he doesn't believe them. The first thing most of the British media did was try and find out not how well or unwell Boris Johnson's partner was. They went on the hunt to find out the politics of the people who had rang the police.
And what way they voted
in the most recent vote in the UK.
There's a confusion there between domestic abuse and politics. I think there should be a very definite line of distinction between the two.
What is the confusion? You have me there now. What is the distinction?
Well, he's talking about the people that had direct access to the newspapers, for instance.
Hang on. In this day and age, first of all, everyone has a mobile phone. Most people turn on the mobile phone. You see a robbery, God forbid, an accident. Within seconds, it's online. So we're not living in 1969 when Rees-Mogg was born. We're living in 2019 when he celebrated his 50th birthday with a magnificent party on his estate down in Essex or whatever. But people do take out their phone. And secondly, the easiest thing in the world now is to contact a newspaper, either on Twitter, either by email or whatever. It's much easier than ever to contact the newspaper.
I wouldn't dispute what he's saying.
Well, you are disputing. Yes, Susan, yes.
one of the things I'd like to say, 25 years ago, when I was in that situation, there were no cell phones in easy video. But I had to go to a trial because my husband at the time was saying he was innocent. If I had a tape recording of it, it would have been wonderful. So having that tape recorder, I think those people were smart because they actually could have evidence. And it took them 1 second to push that button and then call the police.
And the fact that they say that, I don't know if they have a tape, and to say that they have a tape, is that one of the reasons why Boris Johnson has been running a mile from it? He hasn't engaged in their Corbynista court and twitchers and snoopers. He hasn't used that language. Boris, or Jacob Rees-Mogg has, and he wasn't even there.
Exactly.
And apparently, I'm reading the Guardian report, and it says at one stage, Carrie Simmons could be heard telling Johnson to, quote, this is the tape that the Guardian obviously heard, get off me and get out of my flat. Now, and Cressida Dick, the commissioner of the London, the Metropolitan Police, totally agreed with the neighbours calling Brian. So, like, Brian, would you call if you heard, well, you're saying it's politics, if you heard a politician who lived beside you in a row, male or female, with their partner, male or female, and you knocked on the door to see was everything okay and you didn't get an answer, would you ring the police, Brian?
And would you say, I wouldn't knock at the door, Joe.
You wouldn't knock at the door?
No, I'd ring the authorities. I'd ring the local police and try and get their opinion. If you're not professionally geared up to go and intervene in a situation like that, you've got to leave it to the people that have responsibility for it.
Yeah, but you're saying it's a political matter. They shouldn't have got involved.
Well, Rees-Mogg is saying it's a political matter because it's Boris Johnson, but I'm just saying there should be a distinct distinction between domestic abuse and what he's getting in as a political agenda.
Okay, let me bring Owen in. 51551, your point, please, Owen.
It's been reported that these neighbours who are avowedly left-wing, it should be stated, had the phone number of Boris's girlfriend.
Well, I didn't see that, but anyway, go ahead.
Right, so I saw it. So there's no point in you saying you didn't see it.
Okay, you saw it, okay. Yeah.
I read it in one of the broadsheets newspapers in England, okay?
Yeah.
So there's no record of any missed calls on Boris's girlfriend's phone. There's also the issue of how come the Guardian have not released the full tape, the audio version of the full tape.
Yeah, keep going. You have questions. Keep going, yeah?
Right. There's also the issue of the only shouting that was supposedly heard by the Guardian was
by the neighbours.
Well, the Guardian apparently also heard the tape.
Okay, okay.
And they had reported the comments in the newspaper. So we're relying on the Guardian here, who are also avowedly left-wing. So the only shouting and the only abuse, domestic abuse, was by Boris's girlfriend towards Boris about spilling some wine on her sofa. That's domestic abuse against the male.
Okay, stay there, Owen. Let me bring Dolores in from Cork. Dolores, your point, please.
Well, I think it's absolutely appalling that this politician has made the comment that they were snoopy neighbours. We had an incident when I lived in North London where we lived in a terrace flat, and next to us there was a couple. And one evening we were eating, and mm-hmm. we heard her scream very loudly, and what we heard was the bashing of furniture and obviously him throwing her to and fro. And so I said to my husband, sorry, I'm not prepared to listen to this. I'm calling the police.
Okay.
Now, I called them, and unfortunately they came to my house. And I said, no, it's next door.
Right.
So this fellow knew that I had called the police. And he tried to be very intimidating the very next day that I saw him with her, limping and clearly having bruises all down her legs and her arms. And I turned around and I said to him, do not look at me that way. I said, because you don't scare me. I said, and if you do it again, I said, I will call. I don't care. I said, you're a bully and I'm not prepared to listen to that kind of behavior, you know, that kind of, you know, behavior, you know, that's going on. I said, now, from my point of view, Boris Johnson clearly had to have been handling her in some way that she did not like, and she told him, get off. Now, as a neighbor, I personally wouldn't have gone over there to the house because, like the man said before, you know, people aren't equipped to handle a domestic, you know,
incident,
abuse, and they should leave it to the professionals. But they were totally in the right to call and say something's going on over there. Doesn't matter about their politics. You know, the problem with people now is they have no moral compass. They don't know the difference between right and wrong. But what those neighbors did, they did it in the right way. They called because they were concerned. You know, just like anybody else should get involved when you hear something like that. I have on occasion gotten involved when I saw somebody being abused on the street. You know, because you can't allow that behavior. If you allow that behavior, it will continue. And just like the lady, Susan, you know, she's very brave because a lot of these women are intimidated, they're browbeaten, and, you know, sorry, it's not on. So I couldn't give two hoots about their politics. They did what was right. They called the police, and they so that the police could intervene. Now, I don't think that a man who handles a situation, if he can't even handle a situation like that in his own home, what makes people think that he's going to be a level-headed person in government? Is that the kind of person you want in government? Somebody who thinks it's okay to manhandle a woman, or someone who is, you know, not as, you know, strong? It's not on.
Joe, could I come in for a minute?
Brian, oh, yes, please. Brian, yeah, 51551. Go ahead, Brian, yes.
Can I just conclude by saying, if you feel there's something wrong in a domestic situation, your gut feeling will tell you. And 9 times out of 10, it's a good, honest feeling that you have, and you know there's something wrong. So please don't avoid it. Deal with it if you think you're going to help somebody.
Yeah.
Thank you, Joe.
Okay, Brian, thanks.
Exactly,
thanks,
Joe.
Indeed.
There's a bumper sticker that says, domestic violence thrives on silence.
Yeah.
And Owen, you're portraying it that Boris was the victim. Do you still think the neighbour should have phoned the police?
Sorry, I didn't say anything initially about them being wrong phoning the police.
You said you're very sceptical about the way the neighbours behaved.
About their contacting the Guardian.
Yeah, the neighbours, you say the neighbours had Boris's girlfriend's phone number. Now, in the interim, while you said that, I've been trying to Google the source of that. You said you read it in one of the broadsheets.
Yes, I can't remember which paper it was.
Well, there's only a couple of broadsheets now in the UK. One of them is the Telegraph, a big story. I can't find a reference to that.
It was probably the Times, Sunday Times.
Okay, I don't doubt you. Okay, I did. I can't find it. I'm Googling here to find out where she said that. She did say she had to flee her home because of
I just want to give some. I just want to give some background for some of the listeners who might not be fully aware. There was animosity directed towards Boris by the female partner of this particular couple before the incident. Since the incident has happened and been reported in the media, the couple have had to leave their home because the steps of the house where the flat is in has been invaded by a gang of left wing rebellion protesters.
Well, they're anarchists; they're not left wing.
Sorry, they are left wing, Joe. Just because they're anarchists doesn't mean they're not left-wing.
No, it does, actually. Anarchy believe in no society. Socialists believe in lots more society than conservatives do.
Sorry, what's the name of the group, Joe?
I'm reading the banner now. Hang on, Owen.
Okay.
Yeah. It's called We Must Devastate the Avenues Where the Wealthy Live.
Exactly.
The group...
Sorry, Joe. I'm sorry.
The group is called Class War. They have the anarchists.
Anarchists are left wing.
Okay, well.
Stop. Joe, you were a student leader in Trinity College years ago. You fully are aware
I wasn't an anarchist.
You're I didn't say you were. You're fully aware of the Trotskyite creed, of which this gang are probably members.
Probably, or will be
in the future.
Okay. Do you want to keep going? Nothing else about my past while you're at it?
No, I'm just trying to give listeners a broad interpretation of where you might be coming from.
Not that listeners or anyone else is interested in my years in Trinity or USI.
You're making things up on the wing, Joe.
I know, you said that to me before. You said that to me before when you were on as well, Owen. Now, the point I'm making is when I was in Trinity, you say I was left wing or whatever I was.
I wasn't. You're a member of the Students' Union.
Yeah. And you say that I was left-wing, i.e. Part of that broad umbrella group or anarchist. The anarchists wanted me out of the place, Owen. But anyway, that's neither here nor there. Susan.
No, excuse me, this is Dolores.
Dolores.
I think we're getting off the point
here. It's probably my fault.
It's probably my fault, Susan,
because I had a life before RTE, but go ahead.
But I think we're getting off the point here. The point is, this is about domestic violence, domestic abuse. And, you know, it can be, you know, directed towards women or men. And the whole point of this is that, you know, he obviously had some kind of altercation with the girlfriend. And, you know, politics or no politics doesn't give him the right to behave in that manner.
I'm sorry, I have to interrupt you there. This is the second time you've actually said that he's manhandled her. The selective
What else do you think, as a woman?
There is no evidence that he manhandled her. The evidence that has that the selective evidence that the Guardian have given to the media generally portrays her preventing him getting his laptop from her. When she is reported as saying, get off me, the likelihood is he was trying to recover the laptop which she
Well, that's
was
the way you interpret
getting.
It.
Yes, but that's the only way we can interpret
no,
it.
No, that the isn't Guardian, the only way. The Guardian, as a woman,
the
no,
Guardian
excuse me.
Have not relayed.
Excuse me, relayed. As a woman, sorry, that, that,
no point
as a woman,
saying,
no,
no,
that.
No, let the lawyers finish.
No,
thanks.
Because she's actually trying
no,
to
he just wants to argue because he wants to be a bully.
There we go.
He's not a bully. Go ahead, Dolores. Owen is not
no,
a bully.
I promise, I'll let you back in a sec.
Go ahead, Dolores.
As a woman, do you know, when a man is being intimidating like that, and I mean, I don't know how else you can interpret it, get off me. Now, how many ways are you going to interpret that? Get off
I've already told you. If she
but
is
that's the point
his,
is, the point is, that's why they called. That's why they called, because
bullying,
they didn't know what was going
on. Him, if she is bullying him by not giving him his laptop,
so do you support domestic violence?
Prime Minister of the country.
Do you support domestic violence?
Of course I don't. But it's the this is the
well, it's obvious
actually,
to me that
sorry,
you're confused. Then
you are deliberately confusing domestic violence and
no,
domestic abuse.
I'm not.
This
no,
is,
because
is,
I have been. I have been. I have also been.
That's fine.
You know, at the other end of domestic violence.
I agree totally with phoning the police. You are not going to portray Boris as being domestically violent.
Oh, so in other words, he's holier than thou, and he doesn't have the right for any... He doesn't have... In other words, no one can criticize him.
Did you leave?
Is that what you're saying?
It would appear to me as if both Boris and his girlfriend are hysterical type of individuals. After this incident, I would be very worried about him becoming Prime Minister, right? But there are a number of issues around this. It would appear as if these neighbours have never heard that particular couple, Boris and his girlfriend, rowing before. This is the first time,
well,
apparently.
I'm sorry, but you strike me as a person who, you know, is comfortable with hearing those kind of things, and, you know, and...
I've already said it was appropriate to ring the police. How many times do I have to say that to you?
Well, as a woman who has been, you know, at the other end of domestic violence, I'm not comfortable with your answer.
I think that you probably do support. It's not domestic violence. It's domestic abuse. It's totally different.
Well,
What is the difference?
Say that to a woman who's been at the end of domestic abuse and violence.
Men are not subject to domestic abuse from their female partners?
Well, sorry, I think it's one and the same, to be honest, to be honest with you.
But you do believe that the neighbours were right to call the police?
Oh, yes, definitely.
Okay. No, Owen, you do believe the neighbours were right to call the police?
I would have preferred if they tried to phone her first. Phoning the police could take 5 or 10 minutes for the police to arrive. It would have been quicker if they did have Boris's girlfriend's phone number to try the phone number first. Then if there's no answer off the phone, go to the door.
By that time, if something really is going on,
the police don't live next door to Boris and his girlfriend.
Let me bring, and Sean, by the way, we've found that reference that you were talking about. It is in the Sunday Times. I'll just read it out in fairness to you. It says... Friends of the couple said Carrie feels trapped in the flat and does not feel safe after this. This was about the media, not about Boris, now, in fairness. The friends say that neither Simmons or Johnson had heard Lee or Penn. These are the neighbours. Now, there's now three sets of neighbours, Earl McDermott and another woman who actually talk about breaking glass. So there's more than the one set of Corbynese, the neighbours, or curtain twitchers, or snoopers, as Rhys Mogg calls. There's now three sets of neighbours who heard an altercation in the flat. But anyway, in support of your earlier point, friends say that neither Simmons or Johnson heard them knocking on the door, and they say that Penn knew Simmons' mobile number but had not called it. Now, that's from friends. I don't know. I haven't heard the answer to that. Sean Lowry, 51551, joe@rt.ie. Should the police have been called, Sean?
Yeah, Joe, I would think after a while probably, but why didn't the neighbours knock on the door, as Owen said?
They said they did. They said they did. No.
And number two, with Boris being in the position he's in, would he have not 24-hour MI5 protection at the minute? And where were they?
That's a good point. I mentioned that yesterday. But Sean, and who was saying, it was Susan who was saying, sorry, no, it was Dolores who was saying that when she did, when it became obvious to the neighbours next door where the husband was abusing the wife or the partner or whatever, a guy hitting his girlfriend, to use Dolores' phrase, that when Dolores called the police called to her force, and therefore the couple involved in the row knew who had contacted the police. So if that couple, they said they knocked on the door, but would they have been justified just ringing the police without knocking on the door, so Boris Johnson and Carrie Simmons would not know who made the complaint, and there could be no upset afterwards about towards neighbours or whatever? Do you follow me, Sean?
Yeah, but if there was abuse taking place, I don't think any self-respecting person would be worried whether... who found out whether they called the police or not. There's the welfare of a human being at hand.
Yeah.
And it wouldn't bother me if somebody knew whether I called the police or not. If I was concerned enough to call the police, I would call them. I wouldn't care who found out.
Yeah, I agree.
Okay.
He tried to, you know, that person that we live next to tried to intimidate me by, you know, giving me a dirty look and things like that. And I said, look, I'm not afraid of you. I said, and if you do it again, I will phone the police. Okay. And I'm sorry.
Sorry, John, can you ask that person there,
Dolores,
where the couple Dolores, right to contact the Guardian?
You know, I don't know whether they were right or not in contacting the Guardian. That to me is another issue about whatever. My main concern is that, you know, a protection of someone who clearly shouted out, get off of me. So that to me is the primary concern. Forget about the newspapers. Forget about all this other stuff. You know, if someone is in danger, you know, then you have a right to phone the police and say something's going on over there.
Yes, I agree with you. I agree with you. I've said that from the beginning.
This is a man, you know, who obviously, who is in the political eye, you know, and still maybe feels like, I don't know, he can get away with that. Would you want would we be comfortable with somebody in political office who thinks that they can get away with something like that?
No.
Well, Owen already has said he doesn't believe that he should be prime minister based on what's happened. He did say that earlier.
But just on your point, Owen, I know you have this thing about the Guardian being left-wing or whatever, but Owen, do you think any newspaper would have turned down that tape?
No, it's actually about bias, Joe. That's all I'm concerned with, right? So the Guardian are nakedly left-wing and the Telegraph are nakedly right-wing.
And the Telegraph have been critical of Boris in the last 24 hours as well.
This has been actually...
And his former editor at the Telegraph, Max Hastings, what was the phrase he used? Yes. He used a savage phrase about the Tory party is about to foist a tasteless joke upon the British people. He cares for nothing but his own fame and gratification, says the former editor of the Daily Telegraph, Max Hastings.
Yes.
I'll tell you what
worries me about this whole incident, which no one really seems to have mentioned. I saw Boris walking out of this particular house for about a week or two before the incident, and I thought Boris owned the whole house, or he was part of the he inhabited the whole house. I didn't realise with such a high profile politician who's going to be having his finger on the nuclear button that he is sharing the middle flat in a house, and he's sharing common entrances with other people.
So is our own Taoiseach.
Which one was that?
Well, Leo Varadkar lives in an apartment block, doesn't he, up in Blanche?
Not when he was a would-be leader of the party.
Now, where was he living?
He was living in the apartment, but he wasn't a would-be leader. Could have been Taoiseach for the next 5 years.
Well, Benda Kenny lived in an apartment, I think, when he was in Dublin in Fenian Street. And he walked to work every morning.
But again, he doesn't have his finger on the nuclear button. What I'm actually very concerned with Boris's love life, just by the way, I don't regard the way he carries on with women as being particularly wholesome. So, and this business of him hooking up with a woman who's about 20 years his junior.
Yeah, well, that's none of our business.
It's not a question.
It's not a crime. That's not a crime by any stretch of the imagination.
Pardon?
That's not a crime, Owen.
I didn't say it was a crime. I'm talking
20 years younger or 20 years older.
A country in the G7.
Okay. All right.
So, Joe, I have a question about crime.
Susan, yeah.
Yeah, this is Susan again. That coercive control has recently become a crime in Ireland. Is it a crime in England?
I don't know.
Is him yelling and screaming and fighting, is that even a crime up there?
I don't know. But you just in that distinction, Susan, between domestic violence and domestic abuse, do you see a difference? Well, domestic abuse is verbal, I presume, what Owen is saying.
Yes.
Domestic violence is obviously violence.
Well, I tell people often that as a survivor, it's easier to heal a broken arm than the psychological trauma of being a victim of domestic violence. So even though there is a distinction, I think in some ways the abuse can be worse, unless you're someone, like Nicole Simpson, who gets killed.
Okay. Yes, I agree with Susan because, I was the victim of, mental abuse. Mm-hmm. And at one time, physical abuse when I was married, previously. And it's not a nice thing to be on that end of the stick. And let me tell you, that's why I intervened. In the neighbor who lived next to us, because I said to my now husband, I'm not prepared to listen to that. And I don't care, what that person thinks. And I'm not going to be bullied. I'm not going to be, bullied, and I'm not going to take that anymore. And I'm sorry, politician or no politician, you do not have the right to do that to somebody, whether it be mental or physical. It's not on. And,
of course. There's one issue here. My only issue is the Guardian newspaper. Can I just say one thing before
we end? I'm not worried about the Guardian.
Stop bullying me. Sorry, I am, okay? So can I just say one thing before I go?
No, you're being facetious now when you said that.
She has tried to shut him down a couple of times here, please. So can I just say one thing before I go? My only issue is the Guardian. They had every right to contact the police, okay? But they had taped this particular incident. They took all the details of the police they called, their names, in order for those police to contact them after they visited the incident. It was precisely after the police got back to these neighbours and told them nothing was wrong, no one was injured, it was after that that the couple contacted the Guardian. This is my only point.
Okay, let's stand. So I think there is a nuance, Owen, and that is that we've had calls on it before, that some people who have called the police about an incident next door where a woman was, and it's a different circumstance now, I'm not daring to see what was inside that door, but where we have evidence where the woman was abused and was physically abused, that the woman refused or was afraid of actually saying stuff had happened because she feared for the repercussions. But anyway, Owen, Susan Bauman, Dolores and Sean Lowry, go to Margaret 51551. Let me bring in Betty, who's also in the UK. Betty, you were listening to the debate earlier about Reece Moggs and the domestic violence and calling the people who rang the police about Boris Johnson, snoopers, court and twitchers and ne'er-do-wells. Go ahead, Betty.
Well, Joe, I think that guy, Reece Moggs, is completely off the wall. He's not living in the real world. And to talk to people peeping behind their curtains, if there's violence going on in anybody's house, regardless to who they are, yes, it should be reported. Joe, in the 60s, right. I don't want to talk about myself. I just want to say I had a life of violence in the home.
Okay, I'm sorry to
But you
that.
Couldn't you couldn't phone the police then, because if anybody phoned the police, they'd say it was a domestic matter. So they wouldn't do anything about it. But fortunately, at the time, I had a very good neighbour, Rita, and the one night she went and she rang the police.
Okay.
And I left my home with four children and a dog at midnight. My own home, which we were buying, and, you know, I just left the lot.
And was that the night, Betty, that the neighbour called the police?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, because my husband was a drank.
Yeah.
He gambled. You know, he just wanted a single life. He didn't want a married life. He didn't want children. He took our children out twice in all our married life. Once to the park, and the second to see the Man in the Moon pub, where after the moon landing in 63. I was married in 59, and I left in 1970 on a November night at midnight, went into a halfway house because of the violence.
So for Reece Moggs to characterise people who ring the police.
Him as a so-called Catholic and a Christian. How dare he? How dare he? You know, I've no time for Boris Johnson either. I don't know anything about what went on there, only what I heard on the media. None of us know. But for the ordinary people, for them as well, but for something like that, I had a neighbour here shortly after I moved down here, and her husband the same. He was a drinker, and he used to knock her about something dreadful.
Oh my gosh.
She lived down the avenue from me, and the one night he kicked her all the way up the avenue into my garden, and I went out and intervened, and I brought her into the house. And I told him what for. I needn't tell you, Joe. But, you know, we cannot ignore what's going on. We know that things go on in families.
And did you ring the police on that occasion, Betty? Can you recall?
No, I didn't ring the police, Joe, because I did tell him I'd ring the police.
Yeah.
And he went off down. I knew he'd be sober in the morning, and she went back down to her house the next morning. But she too had little children, you know?
Okay, stay there, Betty. Dennis McGrath contacted us. Dennis, you say, let me ask the question. Would you phone the police if you saw or heard something?
In the UK, yes. In Ireland, no.
Why?
Because they don't turn up.
Well, give me an example then, if you...
Well, I had to call when I was in the UK. There was a couple of occasions when I had to call the police.
Right.
And they responded immediately. I've been back in Ireland 20-odd years, and I've had occasions to call the police, and I've had no response whatsoever. They don't turn up.
And what have you had occasion? Maybe the incidents were different. Were they?
They weren't different. I lived in a particular estate where there was antisocial behaviour happening all the time. there's guys getting arrested left, right and centre, and in the end I just moved out. I said, this is not good enough. They're not prepared to do anything about it. So I just moved.
Yeah, and
but Joe, we're reaping. The problem we have at the moment is that Irish people are being subjected to this nonsense, right? And it's not being dealt with.
What nonsense? Sorry.
The nonsense of these guys. Like your program is all about people being harassed and hassled, etc., etc., and what you have to endure on a daily basis in this country, right? You only have to walk down O'Connell Street in the next hour and you'll be harassed by people. It's like the zombies are just walking around the place, right? Yeah. I've had 20 years of this, right? And it's just gone progressively worse, right? And no one's doing anything about it. They're looking the other way. It's as simple as that.
When is the last time you described O'Connell Street? I know about the boardwalk, but when is the last time
about 3 or 4 days ago.
Okay, what was that like?
It's just bonkers. You're just surrounded by. Every second person that you walk by is off their face.
My God.
It's just crazy. Look, I grew up in Dublin. I'm born and bred Dubliner.
And then it's broad daylight.
Broad daylight. It's bonkers. And it just goes on. And no one cares or does anything.
Is there police guard a presence in O'Connell Street?
Yeah. And
why did you laugh when you said that?
Because you see them outside the GPO with their legs crossed and they're either looking on their phones or they're checking their nails, and there's mayhem around them. They've lost control of the streets. It's as simple as that.
And why don't they put one of those Garda command and control units on the island there opposite the GPO? It's effectively a Garda station, a mobile Garda station. And put that presence there and whack up a few of the CCTV cameras that operate off that truck.
Yeah, but Joe, they have lost control. It's as simple as that. They've lost control. I'm watching this for 20 years, Joe.
Okay.
This is not 20 minutes ago.
All right. You think they've lost control?
Of course they've lost control. Walk around O'Connell Street go down to O'Connell Street when you finish your program and have a look and see what's going on there and then come back to me.
Okay. Dennis, thanks indeed. That's Dennis McGrath, Betty as well. Nicky Dempsey was on sound. Laura Lee Davis is the BCO. Fergus Sweeney producing. Catherine Thomas is next.